Welcome back, murder friends, to
Under the Influence of True Crime.
That's Em, and they're telling our story.
That's Kate, and she's under the influence.
Almost always, babies.
Truly. happy end of Spooktober. Halloween special coming at you today.
Halloween is upon us. Do you feel it in the air? And also, did you guys hear the news? It's a Bones weekend.
It's a Bones weekend. It's an entire spooky Bones weekend.
Noodle said so. Noodle declared
said
it.
So.
So I don't want to hear
Noodle has declared
naysayers.
A Bones spooky season.
Bones celebration.
Which means that Kate and I are truly in our truest forms.
Ugh. Yes. And also, it means that you did earn that coffee today.
You get
it,
sure did, buddy.
And that piece of candy that you get, you earned it.
That entire bucket. So I went with my brother and we took my nieces and nephews trick-or-treating today for like a trunk or treat thing. And we're like going.
What did they go as?
Okay. So
just give me ages. Yeah. I was like, yeah. Okay.
The littlest one was Mickey Mouse.
Stop.
The middle one was Chase from Paw Patrol, and so she just ran around
Chase
all day going Mimi.
I like that
going,
we were
Mimi,
not.
Chase is on the case.
I like that she was Chase.
Yeah, love it.
Good parenting. I like it.
And then the oldest was like a dead homecoming queen. And then
she's so thrilling. She is right up our alley to become morbid, like
truly.
Just like we are. One day we're going to have her on when she's like old enough to be on and you guys
absolutely.
Are going to be like, oh, this spooky little devil. Yeah.
It makes sense. Makes sense.
Mathematically, she's with it.
Truly. And then, our, friend Michael was with us and his little guy went as a pirate. Mm-hmm. It was very cute. And, my sister-in-law painted a mustache on him. It was so cute. And so we're like driving home from trick or treating and I start like digging through their bags, you know, to get the good stuff. And
that's the perk of being an adult.
Exactly. And the little, it's like,
and
dude.
If you're an adult and you're saying that that's not a perk of being an adult, not only are you an adult, you're a liar.
Truly. They were all complaining and I was like, this is anti-tax. I get this.
No, you should have hit them with the, I'm making sure it's safe for you.
I mean, no, that's what the moms were doing. They're like, well, you know, we have to make sure. And I'm like, no, this is anti-tax. I get to take whatever the fuck I want.
You guys were piece of shit all year long. And I only get this on so many holidays. So fuck
truly.
Off and give me your candy.
I was like, everyone dump it on the table. Those are mine. Those are mine. Those are mine. And those are mine. You can keep the rest.
Bleep every one of the candy names. And like, and then be like, we don't want to get sued. But just keep like the first letter. So it'd be like, yeah. And then I said,
I love that you think like the like CEO of Mars is listening.
Not
to
even.
Us.
I just think it'd be so funny to hear someone be like, and then I said, all right, put it on the table. Beep, 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 and beep. Those are mine.
I'm gonna do it.
All right, let's do it. Let's kick it.
Okay, so
what are we talking about today?
So here's what happened.
A change of plans.
A change of plans. The story that I was originally going to do ended up being, one, way too long to record tonight because we're recording this like 12 hours before the episode's coming out. Y'all are getting this in real time. Second of all.
We commit. Sorry.
The story I was going to do took place like October 26th instead of on Halloween, which was like, you know, my Halloween special on Halloween. But I also, it's now a really cool case that I know for a fact Kate has never heard of because I had never heard of it.
Which is rare. That's rare, guys.
Yeah. I literally Googled murders that happened on Halloween and this one came up. Not super long, but fucking bonkers.
And you guys don't have to worry about waiting to hear the Chelsea Brett case. Em had a brilliant, beyond brilliant idea that we're not going to share yet, but you guys should just hold it in your little mind holes.
Yeah. Because I was going to do the Chelsea Brett case. It happened not on Halloween. I got almost the entirety of the story done. And then I went This didn't happen on Halloween. It was the 26th, you dumbass.
Can we all take a moment to appreciate Em's commitment, though, to their Spooktober spectacular by dropping a nearly completed case? You guys don't understand. That's a lot of time for us.
Also, research.
I
made this decision last night. Yeah, because I was like, shit.
You're a rock star.
Thank you, buddy. So instead, we are doing the case. It is one of Kate's favorite, A Family Annihilation.
Oh, they freak me out. They freak my
Spooktober,
mind.
Spooktober, bitch. Spooktober. Oh. Okay.
Will you give me a hint? Who is the killer going to surprise me? Like, who in the family?
No. Okay. Killer's not going to surprise you because it's right at the beginning.
So it's the dad?
No.
That was what I meant. So it's not
the dad.
That was what I was asking. Was it the person in the, person like what their the role in their family
yes.
was?
Yes.
Exciting. See, it is. When you said I wasn't going to be, I was like, so the dad did it. Okay.
Yeah. No, I thought you meant like a twist, not a twist. You are going to be surprised that it's not the dad.
Great. I love it when it's not the dad. Cause I'm like, whoa, like,
so trigger
family
warning,
family annihilation,
That's the trigger warning, which I didn't write. So I'm going to just go off of memory. Trigger warning.
I love when they do this. I love ad lib trigger warnings.
Family annihilation, suicide, drug use and alcohol use, gunshots. Did I say suicide?
Yes.
Rape.
Oh,
got it. Okay. That's all of them.
And what's behind door number four?
Okay, y'all. So here we go. October 31st, 2010.
Gasp. Halloween.
Gasp. Halloween. Halloween.
Set the scene, you guys. You're here right now.
It's time.
11 years ago, right now.
11 years ago, right now, as this is getting released.
Halloween, babies.
We are in Martin, Ohio. It's a
Nothing
Midwest
good has ever
case.
Happened in Ohio, so that mathematically
True.
Adds up.
True.
And if you're from Ohio, you know what I'm talking
so
about.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
My condolences.
My deepest condolences.
All right, here we go. So October 31st, 2010 in Martin, Ohio, 16-year-old Devin Griffin was returning home. He had been singing in his church's choir, and he had gotten home around 1:30 in the afternoon.
An afternoon grime.
An afternoon. And this... If I remember correctly, this happened on it happened on a Sunday, and everything happened so quickly. So it's Halloween, it's Sunday.
Why'd you
Everyone
say obviously
would be home.
It was a Sunday?
Well, because he was at church.
Oh.
Anyway, so it's 1:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday. His whole family theoretically is at home at this point.
No, I'm pretty trusting that they're at home.
They sure are. So when Devin entered his home, it was unusually quiet, which didn't really happen.
On account of the death.
The family annihilation, yeah. So it in the house, there's four people that live there. Devin, who was 16, his mother, Susan, who's 46, his stepdad, William, who's 53, and his brother, Derek, who was 23 at the time, were all living in the house together. So he came home and he was going to go play video games. But since it was so quiet, he decided to take a look around and see if anyone in his family was home. He entered his parents' room and he found, his mother and stepfather asleep in their bed with the comforter pulled over their heads. He walked in.
I don't think they're sleeping.
I don't think so. He walked in and they didn't move. And he just started talking to them like, hey, mom, I'm home. And they weren't moving. And so he was like, oh, it's a Halloween prank. That's so funny. It's a Halloween prank. He walked up closer to the bed and Susan's foot was sticking out of the comforter and he kind of tapped her leg and was like, oh, mom, that's so funny.
I'm calling
the police.
Pulled
the blanket down. And saw a true Halloween nightmare.
No.
He ran out of the house and called his aunt, who quickly came over to their house and called 911. And what police found was William had been shot 5 times in the head and face in close range. They theorized that he was shot within 1 to 2 feet close range. He was still in. Oh
my God. The back of his fuck. His. Oh my God. That he poor was, 16.
It's so bad. It's so bad. Okay. So he, William, the dad, was still in the position that he was asleep in. Like, it looked like he was sleeping. And Susan had been shot 3 times at close range. And it later came out that she had also been raped. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Are you in?
Yep, I am.
Okay, cool. So with that, guys, I'll see you next week. I hope you have a really great Halloween and you enjoy your time. I will not
be Spooktober.
Oh my gosh. What is wrong with you? Not you, like them. Like, yes, what is wrong with them?
So she was on the bed. So William was on the bed, looked like he had been sleeping when he was shot. She was on the bed in kind of a weird position, which originally they believed that maybe she had been placed there, but with no other blood in the scene, what they decided probably had happened is William was shot first. She heard it and tried to get away. And that's when she was shot also, like, point blank.
Are you fucking kidding me? Are you saying she was assaulted
I think so.
I don't want to be here anymore.
Kate needs a moment. Then police go to Devin's brother's room, Derek, who's 23. But his door was locked.
Derek.
They kicked the door in and found Derek curled up in bed facing the wall. And he had been killed by blunt force trauma.
I thought Devin was the murderer. Or Derek, I mean. I thought Derek was the murderer.
I know you did. I know you did. Nope. Derek's dead. He was... Get ready. Beaten. Okay. It gets worse. He was beaten with a claw. Oh, I don't... Woo! He was beaten with a claw foot hammer.
Oh, my God. God.
And he had been hit multiple times, but they said that he was dead within minutes of the first one, but it's more than likely he felt multiple. He had been struck multiple times. And the bloody clawfoot hammer was found still in the house.
I'm so glad that Devin didn't see his brother.
Yeah.
I'm so sad he saw his parents, but oh my God.
So they... theorized that
he man you got me killed. Fucked up.
Yeah, happy Spooktober. So Derek was definitely killed while he was asleep because he was an athlete. He was a second degree black belt and had competed in Italy for the U.S. taekwondo team. He had been killed while he was sleeping.
Yeah, of course he had to do it when he's sleeping because Derek would have fucking oh man.
So, and it's interesting that Derek was beaten to death, but that was done first.
You led
and
me.
Then William was shot, and then Susan.
So, because Derek was asleep, they didn't hear him struggle.
Exactly.
You led me to believe that it was incest, and now 'twas not.
'Twas not.
You got me fucked up, bro.
The only person that was not in the house was William Jr., who was 24, and it was Devin's stepbrother, William's son.
Oh, man, he did it. He done it. He did it.
Also, for some reason, I looked and looked and looked. I don't know why. For some reason, they called him BJ, so I'm just going to call him BJ because it's William Jr. They called him BJ. I don't know why. I'm just going to say that just because it's going to help the story make more sense.
I think that's less confusing anyway since we're talking about William being dead, so I'm right with it.
Yep.
Also, maybe his middle name started with a B. I don't know. You probably know. That's funny.
I'm pretty sure his middle name started with an E.
Interesting.
So he was obviously immediately named the one and only suspect.
Yeah, I think he did it.
Yeah, so BJ was known to have a pretty serious background, not only with the but also with mental illness. His record goes all the way back to 2002 when he was 16. And this was the first time that the police were ever called on BJ. And it was William had actually called the police because BJ was threatening suicide. And when officers arrived on the scene, BJ attacked them and he was charged with assaulting an officer and spent time in juvenile detention.
Why do they do that? Why do you attack? You know that when you attack a police officer, they take it so much more seriously than when you just attack somebody else. Like, why would you do that? Why? I digress.
He also murdered his entire family.
You know what? That leaves me with a bigger stepmom. Question part. So, oh, good. That's gross.
You sounded like you were from Minnesota.
Yeah, and that's gross. That's gross. Okay, I don't like it, quite frankly. Good day.
In 2004, BJ got in a fight with his stepmother, Susan, and struck her in the chest. This is an ongoing theme for BJ and Susan.
Hit people.
Yeah. Just 2 months after that, BJ was charged with felony assault and robbery after he hit Susan with a coffee cup and stole her car.
But BJ, what the fuck, man?
The charges were dropped because...
his stepmom, sorry. And they were nice.
No, sorry. The charges were dropped by reason of insanity. He wasn't competent to be charged, and they dropped it. After this, BJ was moved out of the family's home and into a group home for troubled teens, where he had multiple more run-ins with the police, including a physical altercation between him and William when William came to pick BJ up from the home and bring him back to the family's home.
Welcome home, Sonny. Said, you're not my dad.
He is.
I know. But...
okay. And when BJ was 18, William kicked him out of the house for once again trying to attack Susan while she was showering.
What do you have against Susan, bro?
I don't know. Susan seems like...
I was like, Susan seems nice. Lovely lady. I don't know Susan very well, but she was just sleeping, minding her damn business.
Truly. So... according to a lot of people, BJ had a lot of resentment towards Susan, obviously, but the reason was because when she married William in 2001, she saw how out of control BJ was already at that point, and she tried implementing rules for him, and he just lost it.
Aw, you had to follow rules.
Truly.
Like,
in 2007... BJ was diagnosed with schizoaffective disorder, and he was given medication, which he would sometimes take.
What's the difference?
I don't think there is a difference. I think it's just schizophrenia. Okay. Did I look it up? No. Could I have? Yeah.
I appreciate your honesty.
But multiple articles after telling me this went on to say that he was, to like mention that he was schizophrenic. I don't know. So he would sometimes be on his medication and sometimes he would stop his meds and self-medicate with drugs and alcohol, which is when his violent fits of rage would happen again. However, this never stopped William from trying to have a relationship with his son. He really did like try hard to make BJ still feel like a part of the family and let him know like, hey, just because like all this shit's going on, doesn't mean you're not still my kid.
So to be clear, BJ did not live at the house.
Not at the time of the murders, no.
Okay, great.
The weekend of the murders, BJ and William went on a hunting trip to their cabin, which wasn't too far away from their regular house. And
I'm
they
not
returned-
telling you how to parent, but that kid does not seem like he should be given a weapon.
See, this is kind of what I don't understand. If he has a violent tendency, why are you
encouraging
him
his use of guns?
Yeah. I don't really get it. They returned home from their hunting trip less than 24 hours before the murders. So something must have happened on that. In case it wasn't clear, everyone, BJ murdered the family.
I thought we did.
I realized just now I never actually said that. Yeah. So something must have happened on that camping trip to, like, make him snap, right?
Honestly, maybe. But
The night they returned home, William had a few friends over to have some drinks. Mark Gradle, a friend of the family, was there, and it seems like he maybe lived next door, like across the street. He lived very close by to the house. Mark knew about the violence BJ had shown in the past, and on multiple occasions, Mark had been called to the home to help calm BJ down. Kind of seems like maybe him and BJ had a good relationship with each other. Like William would call him and be like, "Hey, Mark," and this is a direct quote, "Hey, Mark, BJ's being goofy again. He's just in a silly, goofy mood.
My big, silly, goofy boy."
And then, like, on one occasion, Devin had actually called Mark and was like, "Hey, William and BJ are going at it. Can you come over here and break this up?" So, like, Mark had, like, seen it firsthand. Oh, I forgot one of the trigger warnings. I'm going to put it in right now before we get to it. I am about to talk to about an animal death just for 2 seconds. So Mark had seen firsthand BJ's violence. And so Mark's family dog.
No.
Kate's going to unplug her headphones real quick.
I don't want to hear this.
He had been shot twice with a .22 caliber gun, and the neighbors all knew that it was BJ who had done it.
Why? Why did he do it? For what?
That's it. I'm done talking about it. That was it. That was the only thing.
Yeah. My neighbor killed my dog, and so I take it very personally. Why are we shooting dogs? They're God's perfect creatures.
I agree. Are you okay, buddy?
No.
I'm going to give you a hug.
Oh, thanks. I needed that. That was so rude, BJ. Disrespectful.
Truly. So on this night, Mark had seen the entire family, except he didn't see Derek. Derek was not at home the night that they all came home, which was very normal because Derek and BJ, for obvious reasons, didn't get along that well. And so when BJ was at the house,
you mean the guy he clubbed to death with a claw hammer wasn't his bestie?
Mm-hmm.
I'm shocked.
Surprising, I know. So BJ typically wasn't allowed to spend the night at the family's house. For, again, obvious fucking reasons. But on this night, William made up a bed on the couch because everyone had been drinking and he didn't feel comfortable driving BJ home.
So he was a good dad and now he's dead.
Exactly. Wow. The party broke up around midnight and everyone went to bed. And then Mark's wife, Michelle, reported hearing gunshots, like muted gunshots, around 6:30 a.m. Halloween morning, which, in fact, lined up with the family's time of death.
I'm sick of BJ.
I agree. So that morning, Halloween morning, around 9:30, Devin, who had been staying at his father's house that weekend, came home to change his shirt before church. He was only in the house, he said, probably 5 minutes or less. He literally walked in, changed his shirt, and walked out. So he didn't see anybody except for BJ. And while at the house,
he saw BJ after?
Yeah. The family was murdered around 6:30. BJ and Devin had a conversation at 9:30. Because Devin was there changing his shirt, was there for 5 minutes.
I'm sorry. And I'm glad Devin didn't get hurt, but why did Devin not get hurt?
Why did Devin not get hurt? That's what I would like to know. It's like you just murdered your entire family and his entire family.
Maybe Devin
and he
wasn't
walked
a problem
in the door where
him.
The bodies were, and you. I'm glad he's fine. I'm so glad he's okay. But what was the reason?
I don't understand the math.
So Devin said that BJ was being really weird. He was acting very unusual. And by this, it simply means BJ was acting, quote, happier. He was very talkative.
You got me fucked up.
When Devin walked in, BJ was like, "Hey, what are you doing?" And when Devin was like, "Oh, I'm just changing my shirt, then I'm going to church," BJ was like, "Oh, how long are you going to be gone?"
Oh my God.
Normally, BJ's not talkative, especially with Devin. And so investigators said, this is a quote, Devin said he couldn't think of anything else that was said, but stated that BJ was acting happier. To explain, Devin stated that normally BJ is gloomy. I asked Devin what made him think that BJ was acting happier. Devin stated that it was because he was happier, more upbeat, and more talkative. Devin stated that BJ is normally slow and darkish. Me too.
LOL.
That just sits so weird with me. Like, oh, that he gave talked me a to
pit
me.
In my tummy.
I don't like it. After Devin left for church, BJ took the family's Ford F-150 and drove to their hunting cabin. Authorities came. The scene was found. They found the clawfoot hammer. They never did find the gun that was used. This was a Midwestern family. They had a lot of guns in the house, and all of them were accounted for except for the one that was used, which was, again, a .22 caliber. There were muddy footprints leading to a pond that was on the property. So they were like, oh, he probably threw it in the pond. They drained the pond. Gun was never found. They brought, like, special dogs in that were able to, like, smell guns, I guess? I don't know.
Oh?
And, like, was looking for the weapon. The gun has never been located, ever. We never know what happened to the gun, which is so weird. After brutally killing his family and stealing their car, BJ took himself for lunch at Subway and just, like, bought Eat a fresh. Sandwich. Truly. He just went, bought himself a sandwich to take to the cabin with him. Immediately after the bodies were found, a warrant was issued for his arrest, and they knew that BJ had just been at the cabin, so they assumed he was there. BJ got to the cabin in less than an hour. Authorities were there to arrest him. Like, they were, I'll give them credit for this, they were on it.
They were quick.
It's impressive. He was immediately arrested and charged with the murder of his father. The other charges weren't added on until later. And his bond was set as $1 million. They knew that if they at least charged him with one murder, they would be able to hold him until his hearing.
Okay.
And so they charged him with one until they were able to get all the evidence to charge him with the other two. And they were able to charge him with something else because he technically stole the car.
So Grand Theft Auto.
And again, his bond was set at $1 million, but he was able to be held until his hearing began.
Yeah, he didn't have $1 million.
Truly. So when he was arrested, authorities were told to put him, and I've never heard of this before. I was wondering if you had. They were told to put him in a suicide prevention smock, which yeah, in my idea, it's like a straitjacket, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Why didn't they just say that? Suicide prevention smock?
I mean, I don't know, because straitjacket makes you sound...
So they were like, hey, buddy, we got to put the smock on you. And he was like, no, thank you. And punched an officer in the face.
Classic BJ.
Truly. And so they were like, hey, buddy, if you don't let us put the smock on you, we're going to taser you. And he was like, oh, that's fine. And they let him put the smock on him. It was just so weird. Like, dude, you've already been... Just let them do... Like, you've done been caught. Stop being an asshole.
He said, stop being weird.
So as if the family hadn't gone through enough, this is kind of unrelated, but William's sister, Sue, was killed literally the next day, November 1st, 2010, in a house fire.
Oh my God.
Literally the next day. So like that poor family lost William, his wife, and their son.
Yeah.
And William's sister Sue. It's Jesus. Awful. That poor family, man. BJ was ruled competent enough to stand trial and was facing the death penalty. And so in 2011, BJ pled guilty to 3 counts of aggravated murder, and he was given a deal in exchange for his guilty plea. He would avoid the death penalty and be given a sentencing of life without parole.
Okay.
He was showing absolutely no emotion at his trials and at his sentencing, but he was saying things like he's like that he was remorseful, but no emotion. And then I included this because it's our favorite thing that killers do, which is what Lawrence Singleton did. In a letter to his cousin, he said, quote, I wish this terrible thing had never happened.
Then why did you do it?
Then why? It's not something that happened. It's something that you did. You consciously made this choice to murder people.
You literally did it three separate times.
And aggressively. True. Aggressively. It's not something that accidentally happened. I hate it. And then also, while giving his statement at his sentencing, he claimed he was like, no one made me do this. I did this, and I wish I hadn't. But the reason I did it was because Satan told me to.
God damn it.
So this what idiot. Is it, buddy? Is it, did you do it? Or is it something that happened to you? Or did the devil make you do it? Which one is it, buddy? Okay, and then on March 31st, 2011, BJ was found dead in his cell due to a self-inflicted wound. No idea what that wound is, but that's the end of the story.
You said unclear.
Unclear. The entire family is gone now, except for Devin, who I'm sure needed therapy.
I don't even think you need to put past tense on that. Probably still needs it. Jeez Louise.
Anyway, that is the story of the Halloween family annihilation.
That was insane.
That was your Spooktober finale, everyone.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, fucking rough one. I was impressed that I found this one and was able to get some stuff down so quickly.
Did a great job.
Thank you. Family Annihilations, man. They freak me out.
They're wild. I don't understand how you can kill your family.
Your entire family. It's just awful. But that is the end of Spooktober. We have some more spooky things in the works, so hold on to your butts for that one. So also, probably should have put this at the beginning with the business. We're not going to have an episode next week because it's my birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Then we have a very special, exciting episode coming out after my birthday.
Yes.
Which I'm pretty stoked about. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed Spooktober. We sure had fun.
Thank you for coming along with us and for giving us the opportunity. Not that you had a choice.
You didn't have a choice. You were forced to sit here and listen to Spooktober happen to you.
They willingly clicked it.
That's true. So for more Spooktober content, not really, you can follow our Instagram
at Under the Influence of True Crime.
You can join our Facebook group
at Under the Influence of True Crime.
You can follow our Twitter
at Under True Crime.
You can send us an email
at Under the Influence of True Crime at gmail.com.
You can rate, review, and subscribe
anywhere you get your podcasts.
Do it. Let us know how you felt about Spooktober.
Yeah, unless it was negative. Stuff it.
Unless your name's Tom. Anyway.
Yeah, Tom, get off my
enough
dick.
Enough Tom slander on this pod.
There's never enough Tom slander. You take that back.
I fully agree with that. And you know what else you can do? Join us right back here next week for some more spooky tales. Bye. Are you dumb or am I dumb?
It's me. I'm the dumb
one. Okay.